Okay, guys. You have a biker gang in Neo Tokyo. What is your biker gang name? Ryan.
We are the Popes, by our fearless leader, Pope Francis.
All right. 2 points. Steven.
Neo Battle City Bikers. We play card games on motorcycles.
I like it.
All right. 1 point.
We are the Whittle Babies, because even though we want to strike fear into our enemies' hearts, we also don't want the cops to come after us.
1 point.
You think that would really fool the cops?
I think it would. And then our catchphrase is goo goo gaga.
The most feared biker gang in all of Neo Tokyo.
Oh, yeah. We murder like crazy.
Oh, no. Quick, everybody hide.
It's the Whittle Babies.
No, it's the Whittle Babies.
It's the Whittle Babies. Even when you're scared, you have to you have to say it with that inflection. I like it.
Say our name. Say our name.
What? Whittle Babies.
Who are we?
Whittle
That's
babies.
Right.
The Whittle Babies. And then you shoot them right
sir,
in the head.
Sir, the Whittle Babies have taken over another sector of the city.
I'm sorry. I don't understand.
The widow babies.
Oh, yes, of course.
Are they widows? They're widow babies?
Black widow babies.
They're
baby.
Too young to be married.
What do we say about no riffing?
Well, he can edit whenever.
Yeah. I still need a good button point, so.
And there's something in there.
Button.
I can't just cut it off in the middle of a...
Don't. You're stupid. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this week's From Under a Rock, the podcast dedicated to taking you out from under the rock on movies you should have seen by now. James, what did we watch this week?
We watched Akira.
Akira.
Tetsuo.
Canada.
Akira.
Canada.
Canada. It's all Canada's
Blame
fault.
Canada.
That's the voice of James McAnally. Say hey. Hi, James.
Hi, everybody. This is James McAnally.
And I am Ryan Evans. Pleased to be here as always, gentlemen.
With Steven Zarita.
Yes.
What's your general
demeanor? Thank you, Steven. Glad you came.
It's going to be really hard to discern our voices if we're all going to be talking
hey
like this.
Hey, guys. I'm Michael Ornelas.
No, I'm Michael Ornelas.
Wait, who's Michael Ornelas?
I think you
I'm confused.
Are.
Oh, that's right.
Now I don't know who to kill.
Yes, we did watch Akira today, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. It was it's a fun, super violent, sometimes grotesque movie.
You want to know what my reaction was at several points during the movie?
No, because I know exactly what it was, but
what?
Go ahead.
What? No
yeah.
way!
Yeah, that happened a lot. Pretty much anytime anybody got shot or
well,
bludgeoned.
It was brutal, and I didn't expect that level of brutality.
Yeah, especially for a movie that came out so long ago.
Yeah. You know?
Not something you would expect to see, I think, especially back then.
Yeah,
for anime specifically,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, exactly.
There's plenty of brutal violence in 80s movies.
Right.
But, but in Japanese anime, yeah.
But, I mean, I've seen a fair amount of anime since then.
Have you?
Well, okay. I've seen some anime since, but, I mean, it's more brutal than I think any anime I've watched.
Right. Right.
What was the other one we watched on this podcast?
Princess Mononoke.
That's right. Yeah, this was definitely more brutal than that was.
Princess Mononoke had its moments too, but I mean it was a Miyazaki film. Yeah. It's probably as mature as you're going to get with him. So,
real quick before we get too deep in the discussion, can you give us a little bit of info and a recap on Akira?
Sure. Akira was a movie, as you may have heard already, that was released in the 80s. I'm not sure exactly when.
88, I think.
88.
Or is that
well,
one? No, that's one. The yeah, it takes yeah. place in 88.
I would assume.
I think it actually starts. Takes place a little further
yeah.
on,
since, the,
but like that, the initial yeah. thing. We're doing a great job with this recap. So Akira is a movie that is about a biker gang who is running through the streets of Neo Tokyo. One of the biker gang member hits a psychic head on collision and gains psychic powers. And from then on, his powers grow. He becomes more and more unhinged mentally, and eventually it ends with a all-out rampage through the city.
A Cronenberg rampage.
Yeah, Cronenberg rampage.
Yeah, this movie actually took place on the exact like it came out. It was released on the date that it said the atomic bomb went off.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Actually.
July 16th, 1988.
But I think it actually takes place in
21 years later.
2019.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It starts off with the image.
2009.
No, because we were saying, hey, 2019, that's only 4 years away at the beginning.
It said 21 years later.
No, I think it's a 31 years, because they talked about it being 3 decades since the bomb.
Fine.
We paid no attention to this movie.
Well, it was a lot of reading. It was a lot of reading.
But it wasn't a bomb, right? It was the Akita incident.
Yeah, I think initially people thought it was the bomb, and that's what spurred on World War III in the timeline. But yeah, it later is found out that it's the Akita incident, human experimentation, and like all those splicing genomes.
And Acura just made way too many cars.
Yeah, that was a big problem, especially in the following years. Yeah. It's like, we should really change our name. No, what are you talking about? We got to ride this wave.
Was it really? Or
no, I don't know. Okay. I'm just riffing, man.
It would have been funny. So, James, why is this one special to you? And none of us had seen it, right?
Yeah, James is the only one. I was the only one.
I saw like 5 minutes of it at a party once.
This movie was...
Well, then I'll just ask you instead.
Yeah,
then,
James, why is this movie? Let me take it from here.
go for it.
Well,
I first saw this movie a couple years back in college, and it just blew me away with it. Not only its style, but the quality of the animation that you don't even see in a lot of anime today. Just the art for the backgrounds, just everything was melded together in such a unique vision. And like I was saying earlier, it really hits you over the head with the themes of like this decaying city that's just falling apart, not only from like a from an organic sort of sense, but like from the inside out with its political themes and how there's unrest in the city, and it just everything ties together at the end. And even though it kind of gets a little trippy, it feels like the climactic supernova that, you know, is supposed to happen at a time of revolution. But yeah, it just was a movie that I really, really enjoyed, and I think that even if you're not a huge fan of anime, it's something that I think everybody can take something away from.
Two things for me off the bat here. In the first 10 minutes or so, I was likewise blown away by the art. I thought this is just a beautifully animated movie, and got a really good sense of style about it.
That first bike everything, scene, as soon as that bike chase happens, I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, the quality doesn't degrade or anything. I guess I just kind of get used to it by the end of the movie, where I'm not noticing.
You're not as impressed because you've adapted.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. It is a long
That said, there's all kinds of crazy set pieces at the end of this movie. It gets really nuts and abstract even.
I forgot how many explosions there were. Yeah. Like, Michael, you were saying, did Michael Bay draw this? Like, yeah, there were actually a lot more explosions on this viewing that I was like, oh yeah, I guess.
So I don't know if this was influenced by Akira, but the first thing that I immediately thought of kind of toward the end, when it almost felt like a big extinction event, and it wasn't, but I was reminded a lot of like the opening stages of Final Fantasy X.
I actually was reminded of, I'll give you a point for that, because I was reminded of Final Fantasy VII, which a remake has just been announced.
I was thinking the same thing with Genova instead of Akira,
with Genova basically. And the experimentation and all that stuff, and Midgar being this also decaying city. It really kind of shows you where people's imaginations tended to gravitate towards as far as sci-fi went in the 80s for Japan. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely saw some parallels, some influences there. And I'm not sure which came out first, this or Final Fantasy VII.
This was definitely quite a while.
Yeah,
this seven, is 88.
Yeah,
seven didn't even have a 90s, PlayStation in that year.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true.
That said though, I think I'm pretty sure Speed Racer came out before this.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And I definitely saw some of that in this as well, just on the bike racing.
The vehicles. And,
The other thing that I wanted to mention, though, is you talked about the civil unrest and the government. That's kind of one aspect of the movie that I could have either done without or could have seen more fleshed out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You said that everything wrapped up at the end, and I really felt that whole government conflict was just left really ambiguous. I didn't quite see a resolution or where that would end up going or the repercussions.
Well, the thing about that was, it for the most part, it's sort of like a backdrop, like a C story almost. But there is some, like, especially on this viewing, I kind of noticed the guy who looks like Peter Pettigrew the little mousy dude, was kind of like the leader of the rebellion. But you see a shot where he's actually in the council meeting that the colonel is also in, so that you can see some sort of indirect conflict between the two of them, because the colonel eventually takes martial law into effect, which is the exact opposite of what he wanted to happen. And then he ends up later being found out and dying.
Oh, I was going to say, interesting postscript to his character. After he died, he was reincarnated as another colonel in Kentucky and started making fried chicken. Little known fact.
I'm going to go ahead and subtract a point.
I deserve it. Thank you, James. I deserve that.
You know, you went there, so I respect that, but you still get minus a point.
I think,
I'm surprised it wasn't two.
I think the colonel's character might actually be my favorite in the movie.
Yeah, you know, like, at first he's sort of painted as this opposing force, not necessarily the antagonist, but definitely an obstacle. And he later, you kind of find his humanity and, like, why he's doing what he's doing, even though he does totally illegal things.
Even pretty early on, you can see in his interactions with the psychic kids that he seems to care about their well-being very much.
Not even just for the fact that they're like human weapons, but just because that's how he feels towards them.
Yeah, I felt that the line was blurred in a very good way between who is good and who's bad in the traditional sense. Like, I felt that everyone, kind of like, you know, real people, they have a good side to them and a bad side to them, but they're none of the characters ever strayed from their motive, and they let that be the filter that influenced all of their decisions. So, it was really cool, because, like, even like Tetsuo, watching him kind of go crazy, he was doing some awful things, and he's kind of the sympathetic.
Yeah, because it's clear that his mind is being flooded with memories and images and things that he can't deal with.
Yeah,
and that's sort of making him go insane, and he feels like the only way he can get rid of this is to go kill Akira.
Right, and I like seeing good guys doing bad things, regardless of the reason, and bad guys doing good things.
Yeah,
It's one of my favorite storytelling elements. Is to, like, I hate it when a bad guy is just bad for no reason.
Yeah, this guy is really a tragic villain. I used the wrong phrase in the movie. He has an inferiority complex. In the movie, Steven, I was like, oh no, that guy's totally got a minority complex. No, but he has an inferiority complex, and they explore that in the series of flashbacks at the end. But you can tell even before that, throughout the movie, that this kid's always, Tetsuo's always, you know, has to be saved by Canada.
You can say Canada.
Canada.
We'll know who you're talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, he's just tired of it. He's tired of being number two, tired of not being able to do things himself. So then when he's got all this newfound power and he finds out, you know, for a while he's on top of the world and he finds out there's something better, well, he wants to stay on top of the world. He's going after Akira.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has a couple fights with Canada, and it's kind of funny how Canada is way more successful. This kid is way more successful than the military with all their tanks and guns.
Some of the stuff he pulls off, like the maneuvers,
the
that he
underhand
pulls off.
The underhand laser rifle shot.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
That was amazing. actually, I mentioned this in the movie, and it's worth bringing up. I'm sure y'all haven't seen this, but one of the first two pilots of the original Star Trek series is a lot like this movie. It involves and I saw a lot of that in this movie. It involves Kirk and another guy, you know, among the party, beam down to a planet, and he encounters some force that gives him psychic powers, and Kirk has to confront him with a laser rifle at the end. And it really kind of, you know, it's a much simpler version of that fight, and minus all the Cronenberg stuff.
Let's settle this with a bike race.
A lot less bikes in the Star Trek version.
And that was
66.
60s? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw a lot of. Yeah, it's kind of cool because, you know, I don't know if that influenced them, but I definitely saw that similarity. So it's kind of cool if that influenced this movie, because this movie went on to influence a lot of other things.
Yeah. Well, Star Trek had a lot of early influence on
a lot
where
of
sci-fi
things,
went.
Yeah.
So
right. Yeah.
And James was saying, even weeks ago, whenever you first brought it up, the modern version called Chronicle that came out a few years ago.
Right. It's almost
the same
sort of thing.
Is it intentionally, like, is it associated with it at all?
I don't know if it's
like
officially. I don't know if it's
just inspired.
Yeah,
it's probably.
I would say it's inspired.
There's a whole lot of similarities, especially towards the end, too. Mm.
And I actually didn't see that movie, but when I saw the trailer,
really?
I was like, that looks like the story of Akira.
Yeah.
I heard actually good things about that
movie. I liked it a lot.
I wasn't expecting much out of it, but
yeah,
it was fun. Although, being the nerd I am, I noticed that the camera that he's using could in no way shoot high definition.
Oh, really?
Yet the movie wasn't high definition.
Well,
they
shame on them.
The whole conceit is that it's a found footage thing, and they have some really weird workarounds towards the climactic ending scene.
Oh, where all the tablets and phones start flowing. I'm going to fight you, but I'm going to lift all these phones out of everybody's hands.
What that showed me is that it's really hard to film a found footage
climactic superhero
style action scene
at the end,
and make it seem realistic. Yeah,
Man of Steel, you just see Superman like selfieing his way.
Yeah, basically. What else about Akira though? Let me see.
Michael, you mentioned you were really enjoying the music.
I loved it. Yeah, I just thought it added a lot tonally, and not even just the music. I thought the sound design itself was really good. Nothing sounded cartoony or anything like that. It was. Mm. I could have seen this as a live, or I could have listened to this without watching and thought it was a live action movie.
Right.
And I mean, I don't know if that's a compliment to an animated movie, but it's something I definitely enjoyed about this movie.
The music was something that really pulled me in, early on as well when I first watched this movie. It was so unique and different. There was a lot of percussion instruments.
There were a lot of styles too. They didn't settle into one theme and repeat that throughout the movie. It was whatever this scene needs, that's the ambiance we're going
to
get.
Yeah, like the two that come to mind are, actually three that come to mind are the scene, the first bike chase scene with the percussion, almost what instruments do you think those were? It sounded like wood instruments almost.
Yeah. I honestly don't remember the specifics of what they sound. All I remember is like what I felt from it. I don't remember what the soundtrack sounded like.
The second being the scene where Kaneda begins to hallucinate in his hospital room, and Tetsuo is hallucinating in his hospital bed.
He's just covered in milk.
He's just covered
just
in all that
bathing
milk.
In so much milk.
But the entire soundtrack to that particular scene is like all brings like that sound.
Just a ringing phone.
That's like the whole song. Yeah, just like bring, bring.
It was very percussive. I noticed that they never really mixed metal percussion instruments with wooden. They would pick one and use that for the scene.
No, I mean, it was vocalized in that scene.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, that like people actually making the bring sound. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I commented that it sounded like those little dudes in Wind Waker.
I wasn't doing onomatopoeia for a metal instrument.
Oh, okay.
And then the third one where, like, Kaneda and Tetsuo are, like, finally confronting each other.
Tetsuo!
Tetsuo, Kaneda! The music there is, it's almost like, it's very breathy. Like, it, again, is vocalized, but, like, the entire thing is, like, people trying to catch their breaths. And I thought that was really cool.
I picture that, like, someone's, like, singing a song, but they just have horrible, like, wind management. So they're, like,
oh, God.
Singing Queen, but stopping, taking a breath.
Oh,
we are the...
Sorry, just give me a sec.
Champions.
You actually hear that on the recording. Oh, hold on.
But, yeah, it's just an interesting, like you said, it's, like, every scene it was catered to in a stylized... unique sort of way, and that's something that you don't really see in a lot of movies.
Yeah, well, because I think they want to monetize the theme,
right?
They
want
to be able to sell a single also.
Yeah,
and this wasn't at all like that. So
right,
I liked it.
Now maybe let's go back to that scene you're talking about where Tetsuo is hallucinating in his hospital bed. Maybe you can answer this question. I was confused why the children number 25 and I don't know the other name.
The other
Takashi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, Takashi wasn't there. The kid, I don't remember the chubby kid who floats around in that little seat. Mm. But the girl and that kid, you know,
they're terrorizing him.
They cause the hallucination with the children's toys that start off small and then grow into giant. And then they take over his room and Tetsuo starts freaking out.
Seemed like they definitely weren't helping things.
Yeah, no.
They knew what he was going through, and then yet they were just being jerks.
Yeah, and it seemed like that set off his entire rampage. Up to that point, he was just kind of, oh, my head hurts. This is uncomfortable. Mm. After that point, that's when he really, you know, he leaves his room. The doctor and the guards show up. He just obliterates them, and then he starts, you know, his quest to find Akira and destroying everything in his path. So... do you know what they were trying to accomplish? Because they seem pretty wise.
Like,
except for that.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's like that's one of those moments that is like it seems like the plot needs, but it's you're really wondering what the character's motivation is. If I had to guess, I would say that their childlike tendencies sort of took hold, and they're like, "Oh, we've got a new friend to play with. Let's go mess with his head."
They play that game together all the time, yeah. And they're like, "Oh, let's play."
They wake up with like it's from sheer night terrors, and it's like, Billy,
Takashi, you got me. Yeah. That was good. High five, high five.
Yeah, because even at the end of that scene, like when he when they're like, "Oh no, he's bleeding," and then they call him a jerk, and it's like, "I'm the jerk."
Oh yeah,
what are you talking about?
No, he fell. We weren't trying to do that at all.
Yeah, it's I don't know.
And maybe they were. You know, they seemed real mature, but they couldn't help just being kids sometimes, you know?
Right.
And they've never, it's been a while since they've had a new playmate who's on their level,
right?
Psychically speaking.
Exactly. And at that point, he probably still is on their level or, like, hasn't fully developed them.
Yeah, yeah.
So. And a second question. Now, why is it that Tetsuo seems to be so much more powerful than any of those kids individually? Is it because he's older?
He's Super Saiyan.
He just goes,
I'm insane.
I think the kids say something about how, someone his age shouldn't be able to have those powers because terrible things would happen, and he has to make a choice.
And I think that the whole reason, because like they even mentioned that Akita's powers lie within everybody else, but like they have to be awakened or something. And I think that initial impact
conflict
with the first test subject was number 25 or 6, I forget.
Takashi,
yeah. Like kind of spurred on that growth in his mind, which is why the military took him as soon as they found out.
Was it just the high impact of hitting the kid with a bike?
I think it's probably like the kid also probably put up like a barrier of some sort that like he just went headlong into.
I mean, because you know the military and is getting their rockets and stuff thrown back at them psychically the whole time. And
yeah.
I thought you were going to say getting their rocks off
psychically.
It might also just be like they, I don't think they actually mentioned this, but it might also be that he just had like an affinity.
I think Tetsuo must have been, more ready to be awakened.
It's kind of like the Incredible Hulk, even before the gamma radiation.
I actually felt that comparison a few times.
Yeah, it's hinted that there was already something there. The radiation, that incident just woke it up in both cases.
It's like Crohn's disease. It's a thing you're born with.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thing you're born with and it can just flip. Hmm. Huh. Guys, I have Crohn's disease. This isn't like news, but maybe for the listeners it is.
You know, you can send your emails, cards. Send your sympathy cards, fuarock@gmail.com. You can tweet Michael Ornelas at TouchButtPro. You know, just give him all your sympathy.
Send him some love.
Yeah. Or if you have butt-related questions, like I got the answers.
He's got all the
you know,
stuff.
He acts like it's no big deal, but you know his Twitter handle is TouchButtPro. he's very sensitive about his rear end.
He's very pro about touching butts.
Yeah, well, that too, but. It's just to cover up an underlying sadness.
Not now.
Michael is trying to touch James.
You're not going
to
touch Michael. Right. No, okay,
I did.
He got it.
He got there.
I'm a pro.
Yeah, I guess that's true. He's just relentless.
So to you know bring Chronicle back into the comparison.
Do they have Crohn's and Chronicle? Is that what the Crohn
no,
stands for?
I'm still
Chronicle. That just sounds like a really gross popsicle.
It sounds like something I would never put in my mouth.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. And he's a pro, too. What I really liked about Chronicle was that these kids get their psychic powers, and, you know, they're kids, and throughout the movie, they're gradually discovering new things that they can do with their powers, mostly using them to have fun and pull pranks or whatever and, you know, do kid stuff. And I was kind of excited whenever... which one is it? Takeda? No.
Kaneda?
There's Tetsuo?
Tetsuo. Right. When Tetsuo is first, he's in the hospital and he reaches for the water glass and it shoots into his hand. I was like, okay, this could be, you know, the start of something fun. But then from there, it
accelerates really quick.
Yeah, it erupts way more quickly, past anywhere having fun with his new psychic
power. Well, like, Well, I feel like at that point he's already institutionalized, so there's no real room for him to go around. Like, I feel like if he was still hanging out with his biker gang buddies, he would, oh man, he would like just destroy the opposing gangs.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to see that.
I would like to see that. Yeah.
But to go off what you said, Ryan, yeah, the very next psychic act he does after bringing that water glass over to him is obliterate those guards.
I'm gonna give you a point for that, Ryan, because even Michael mentioned like when he first like finds the other kids, how it felt like a climactic scene. Like, I think there was still an hour left.
Yeah,
in the
that
movie
was,
or
that was halfway through the movie. Yeah,
and it felt like a climactic scene, even though it was only halfway through, just because of how quickly his powers grow, you know.
I don't have too much of a problem with that because they do manage to step up their game for the ending and make something.
Yeah. Oh, he jumps into space and punches a satellite out of the sky.
And that's not even the very end either. Yeah,
there's several big scenes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to jump the gun too much, but that ending, the conflict between Tetsuo, or the scene between Tetsuo and Kaneda with the laser gun, like we've said before, is just super high intensity. And you're really, you know, you've seen Tetsuo just tear apart the military at this point. You're wondering how Kaneda can get this far and hoping he survives. And they do a pretty good job of, even through almost the very end, making you think he might actually die. He gets consumed by this giant white energy ball that Akira has produced, and you're thinking, well, so much for that guy. And I was kind of hoping he would die. I didn't want a happily ever after, which the movie still doesn't give us. Mm. But
yeah,
it kept
almost
me on
everybody
the edge of
dies.
My seat. Yeah.
So, oh crap! I was gonna say something, I forgot.
Let's all
we'll
sit
wait.
In silence.
Yeah. No.
While James remembers. Just one random little thought that I have, I can slip in here. Mm-hmm. I do, as much as I do love the art style and have said it's gorgeous. Michael mentioned that it's kind of hard to tell characters apart sometimes.
Faces are very similar in this movie.
You gotta go by hair.
The I mean, even with hair, with Kaneda and Kai,
right?
Yeah, both look almost exactly the same.
And then
even though they're opposite genders,
there's a minor character in their biker gang that I think is called Kay. There's Kai
there's Kai and K.
Oh, there's a Kai really? And there's a K. And there's this other boy in the biker gang who looks very similar to where in the climax. I thought, oh, is that Kaneda that survived, or is that K looking for him? And just to comment off of that, I'm used to animes where the characters wear the same clothes and have the same hair the entire time. Dragon Ball Z, Pokemon, Sailor Moon, like my main three. Yeah, they never really change. In this movie, they change a lot. So it does require a lot more of a
well, that's
a
also why I think
they
use their names so frequently.
Which helps, though. Yeah. I especially with, you know, how many of these names start with the letter K, I managed to keep them distinct.
Well, it also just seemed more Japanese for everyone to just yell their names at each other.
We also got to the point where, like, we're at the denouement, like, the...
Are you talking about when it fades to black, or...?
No, like... when someone like yells out and they're like, Kaneda, you're alive or whatever.
Oh, like, yeah. I think that was Kai.
The dude he's standing next to looks like he's wearing his jacket, I think.
No, Kay was wearing his jacket.
Yeah. So,
and that threw me off.
So then I was like, jacket, he's looking at him. I literally, after watching an entire movie with these two characters, I still couldn't tell them apart.
Yeah. Despite like huge leaps in animation and in art style, there was definitely a... very, very similar faces. And like Steven was saying, you kind of have to go by hair, and even then sometimes.
Do you think it's like because we're not Japanese, they all look the same to us? That's a genuine worry.
No.
Okay. I don't think that applies as much.
Well, no. There's plenty of other animes where you can tell the characters apart. This one just, there's like three-ish characters that look... pretty similar. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tetsuo is very unique. A lot of them are unique, but just for me, Kaneda, K, and Kai look very similar, and their names all start with K.
That must have been like a nightmare in Final Draft with the predictive text.
No, I know.
When
I'm thinking about
it in 1988.
Yeah.
Well, like, even the adults sort of, like, it seems like it's based on age range. Like, the adults sort of have all the same frame and face.
And the one the guy's old like,
people have.
What are you talking about? Yeah. I'm only 25 years old.
And yeah, he like, looks 40.
Yeah, he looks like he could be 40.
He's in denial.
Hey, I went to high school with some people that now just look awful. So, I mean.
You know, that's true.
Age hits some people like a brick.
Yeah, I went to high school with a couple people like that. I think we all did.
But like you like look at Facebook now, it's like, oh my God, you're a parent and you look completely different.
Like, how are you that bald already? We're all 25, 26. Well, not you guys, but like the people I went to high school with.
Not you guys, but.
I want to talk about Kay, the girl. There's two main female characters. There's Kay and then Kaori.
Mm-hmm.
Kaori doesn't do much.
No, there's another female.
There's 25. There's
number 25. What, yeah.
But Kay, I really liked Kay because she. Or Kay's interesting to me. I wouldn't say I really liked Kay, but it's just interesting to me because they don't quite delve as much into the whole government thing like we were talking about with the rebels, and she seems to be kind of up near the top of that whole operation. And I would have liked to see more of her story because she manages to make it through to the very end, but at a certain point, the other psychic kids, I mean, is there a term for them?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Experiments, you could say.
So the other X-Men, like Professor X their way into her mind, and then just have her kind of act as their puppet. And I just thought it would have been cool to see a little more from her. Because it made for some funny scenes when Canada is following her around and kind of just like, hey, I'm her boyfriend. Don't shoot me. Hey, so what's the deal between you and me? I know you killed that guy, but I'm still interested.
I'm horny if you're horny.
I'm probably down. Like 17 years old.
I'm like so game right now.
It's like, if anything, it turns me on, honestly.
It's just kind of funny that they're like, all right, well, let's bring him along. It's such a funny, weird
situation. Yeah. And then he becomes part of this rebel group almost right. for their infiltration into the base. So.
Yeah, only to be used
as an accidental rebel like Luke Skywalker, maybe.
So, fun fact about this movie. It had a budget of 1.1 billion That's yen.
Not, okay.
What does that equate to?
11 million.
Okay.
It's a decent size,
yeah.
I guess.
For, yeah. And it brought in 7.5 million.
Cool.
Really?
At the box office. Which, I mean, I imagine marketing wasn't nearly as expensive back then, so it wasn't like you have to make double to make a profit. But clearly they didn't make a profit.
Yeah. I'm curious if the Japanese film industry relies on international release sales as much as the American one does.
I don't know, actually.
If maybe...
Given how infrequently you see Japanese movies hit theaters here, like almost never.
I wouldn't take that as the be-all, end-all, though, just right, because Americans don't like any foreign films.
Well, I mean, like, there's so much, like, there are so many big fandoms of, you know, anime culture.
Oh, there's plenty of people here who like them, but still rarely do you see a theatrical release.
Right,
because
it's
pretty much
it
exclusively Miyazaki, Studio Ghibli stuff.
And that's just writing on a name, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And Disney, I believe. Mm-hmm. You know.
Disney helps
and
out Miyazaki.
Studio Ghibli,
right?
Yeah. With distribution.
Yeah.
But as far as like independent sort of stuff like this, you wouldn't. I mean, it's not independent, but you know what I mean.
So. Oh, so for points, did Michael stay awake through the whole movie?
I think he did.
He was on his phone a lot of the time.
Hey, I'm not the one who was an hour late today.
I wasn't an hour late.
Collectively, you two caused us to be an hour late to start.
I brought burgers.
You did.
This is getting very passive.
And then you cooked them, and you wasted our fucking time by feeding us.
And making us eat them and wasting more
time.
Sorry
we were
what
here
a
longer.
Jerk.
It's like, I know you hate being with us, but... Oh, I'm sorry. Was that a behind-the-scenes thing that you shouldn't have released?
Uh-oh.
Trouble in paradise.
But I have to admit...
But it did stay awake.
I have to admit, I was getting a little drowsy in the middle. I had to...
For me, I was getting a little drowsy, but I think for me it was because I even though we talked about this a little bit last week, it's harder for me to watch subtitled... anime
for sure,
and you know you can tell, and I'll believe like, okay, yeah, I am getting the right essence, and I'm getting what was intended to be on screen. I'm getting the right the closest as possible to the right translation, The only other thing would be to learn Japanese, but it is a lot more work to like read, okay, what's happening, read what's happening. Your eyes are shifting up and down
you're
a lot.
Not, especially,
you'll miss some, you'll
yeah,
miss
there was a
the
couple times where I felt like, oh, I missed something.
Yeah,
here.
Especially in like the more political scenes, like in the Japanese war room.
A lot of, signs.
Yeah,
and
I had no time to actually look at what
like
was happening.
Facial expressions
screen,
or anything like that.
Once it got to the action towards the end of the movie, then, you know, you could rest a little bit. Because they're not talking. You can just watch the action. But, I mean, the animation is so good throughout this entire movie, I do still feel like I missed out during the exposition because I was reading at the bottom. Mm. And
but no, James won't let us watch the dub. Whatever.
Well, it's his pick. He can... You get to make us pick.
It's like when you make a pick, but you want to do it on VHS, we don't let you have your way. You pick the movie. You don't get to pick the format.
I mean, he has done it, though. He has had his
Not movie. Anymore, though.
Yeah. We don't put
from now on, Stephen, you must understand that we're just done
somehow
with it.
This went back from me to Stephen.
Guys, let's continue talking about our issues with one another.
If I can get my, I'm not gonna get my. You know what though? There is a, never mind.
Can you Can you say your thought?
I was contemplating having my mom send me up the Power Rangers VHS tape.
No,
because there is a change.
No.
But it's not worth
There's
it.
There's a change?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about it later.
It's not worth talking about. Okay, I'll mention it next time.
Please don't.
Was there anything else we wanted to hit on this movie?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask about the Power Ranger movie. I'll be like, Ryan, can we just talk about Power Rangers?
Can we just talk about
Mad Max really quick?
So
it was really good. Mad Max was great.
Mad Max was fantastic. We can talk about that again, too. Like the first 10 minutes or so of this movie, I was thinking, this is really fantastic. I can see no way that I will be anything other than in love with this movie. And I sort of found a way to...
then you watch the rest of it.
The ending, I was really looking forward to. And I wasn't really disappointed. That's not the right word.
Underwhelmed?
It wasn't bad. It wasn't good either, though. I guess it was just kind of.
Did you feel maybe something was missing, just like a plot element, or
did you want Neo Tokyo to just blow up?
You just wanted different.
I mean, it kind
decisions.
Of did, but I just would have gone a different direction with it, I guess. The Cronenberg monster was
weird,
real weird. Yeah,
yeah.
Mm. In a way that you know Japanese anime often is. They from what I've seen anyway, they like their endings to be more existential than concrete.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like the ending was sort of definitively Japanese in that sense.
The whole movie was Japanese.
Whoa!
Definitively.
Steven, you're throwing too many things at me. but in thematically, I think even the first time I watched this movie, thematically, it sort of made sense that it would end that way. I'm not necessarily meriting the way it ended, but like it just felt like, yeah, this is sort of how I feel like a movie like this would end, a Japanese movie like this.
Yeah, I mean, you did have a milk bath in the midpoint.
Yeah, it's like once we got to the milk bath, I was just like, oh boy.
I hear that's great for your skin.
I was thinking, did any of you see Under the Skin?
No, I've heard...
Was that the one with...
Scarlett Johansson.
I heard it was amazing, but really
I've heard mixed things.
I wanted to see that. Someone please pick that. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Pick it.
Maybe.
Well, what if he didn't, what if he didn't like it or feel it's good?
Oh, is it not a...
I heard there was like a...
I'll find it on my own.
I heard there was like a 30-second shot of a piece of cake at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Cool with that.
All right, then I'm going to go see that movie. Michael, you want to go?
Not with you.
Oh.
Oh.
What was your comparison?
My comparison to
you said, did anybody see Under the Skin?
Oh well, if you guys, I don't want to spoil it if you haven't seen it.
Okay. Milk bath? Is that
there? There was milk bath.
There's a milk bath, guys. There's a milk bath.
There's under the skin. There's some kind of bath in Under the Skin. The comparison I wanted to make about the ending would be to kind of my touchstone to all other Japanese anime. Is the Neon Genesis series, which is like one of the, it might be the only series that I've seen all the way through of Japanese anime.
Really?
And,
wow.
And it's because it's not even that long. It's like 20 episodes or something.
I like anime that's only 20, 30 episodes.
You're lending me Cowboy Bebop so I can finally get through that. Yeah. I missed out on that as a kid. I'm really, side note, I'm really glad James is bringing all this anime to... to...
Yeah, great. James is bringing the anime.
No. Honestly, I am, because I've already said it before. I'm like, yeah, I watch anime. Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball Z, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Inuyasha, Yu-Yu. Those are like the...
Still more than a lot of people.
Yeah, but that's still like such a... that's all kind of within a certain genre.
Yeah.
And you're giving me, and that, like, they're so like connected the to toys, saga. And you're giving me more, like, abstract storytelling, and I'm happy to dive into that. So I know Michael and James aren't as into it, but I do appreciate
Michael. I'm
Ryan
into it.
And James.
Ryan and James. Michael. Ryan and Michael.
Why am I in both of the groups that isn't into anime?
Steven and yourself.
Yes.
Steven, you get a minus a point for messing that up twice.
But I was giving you a compliment on your tastes. I was saying I'm glad you're picking this.
You screwed up the compliment.
Last quibbling, time a compliment.
Quibbling?
We don't want this here? On the air. We're supposed to be friends on air.
Half this episode is usable.
Do we want to rate this? Is anything else that
we can?
We can skip that this week.
We can. Okay, I'll see you guys next week.
Well, we have other parts of the podcast we do.
Such as the... No.
No, we're going to say subscribe on iTunes and then head out.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Yeah. Or leave a review on iTunes.
I feel like we're forgetting something important, though.
Like the movie?
Ratings! Ratings!
No, it's not that, but we can start with that.
Let's do that.
I'll start. This movie is... Is a pretty unique one. I don't think I've ever really seen, ending aside, I don't think I've ever really seen anything quite like it that came out of that time period in Japanese.
The ending
anime.
You've seen a dozen times though.
Yeah, it could be that I'm just not as well versed as in anime of that time period. But for me, the first time watching it was a special sort of viewing experience. So the music is fantastic. The characters do look very, very similar, and it can be quite confusing. But all in all, I'm going to have to give this movie B+.
I guess it's on me.
Uh-huh. It is you.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of mirrors my thoughts. The score was the strongest part for me. I really did enjoy, like, the visuals, the art, the way that they... I feel like they went for visually interesting things and then figured out how to tie the story between those interesting-looking things and try and make it make sense.
That sort of set-piece style... of storytelling, you know.
Yeah, it's like, well, we have this cool idea. I guess we can do this to bridge the gap.
Yeah.
And so I felt that the story wasn't nearly as tight as I would have hoped for this being such an influential movie. Artistically, I can see why it's so influential. Mm-hmm. But that's not enough to carry a movie to a great rating. So for me, I'm going to give it a B.
A lot of what you guys have said, this movie visually looks great. One of my favorite things are the light streaks on the bikes at the beginning and a couple times throughout the movie. And it does have a lot of iconic set pieces. I mean, there is an iconic shot within the first 10 minutes of the movie where the motorcycle turns
skids
90 degrees
stop,
and skids to a stop.
I recognize that one too.
I mean, there's so many influences that this movie had on other films. But when you get down to it, there are parts missing from the plot that I think they should have explored more, like we were talking about with the suppressive government and the rebels and Kay's backstory and her relationship with them. So all in all, I have to echo your B+, James.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we covered it for me, too. I'm just going to echo Michael's B, though.
There's a lot of echoing going on.
All right, so that averages 2 AB+.
There's a lot of echoing going on.
There's a lot of echoing going on. But the main echo that we have is challenge.
Challenge. That's it! All righty.
Forgot the guy's name.
I always forget that I have neighbors that...
Canada!
That's all.
You forget you have neighbors every time we get to challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck them.
James,
anyways,
what's our challenge?
I'll make sure they get this episode.
We're just like super like hostile.
I think we're dipping to like a third of this is usable. The longer we're going, the less of this podcast.
This is becoming more like 12 Angry Men at this point.
Just like the room is getting hot and tensions are getting hotter. It is getting very hot in here. I'm going to undo a button.
Are the tensions going to boil over? Is it going to be too much for the four crew?
Is that somebody just talking about 12 Angry Men, or is that somebody in 12 Angry Men?
I'm thinking back to like In the Heat of the Night or something like that. Or Do the Right Thing, you know. Movies about heat and tensions, you know.
And then this heat, the mad blood is stirring.
The cop movie with Sandra Bullock that came out, The Heat.
No, there's Didn't Heat, see that one. The cop movie with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro.
So how about that challenge?
We already reviewed Sunshine.
What?
How the about sun
that,
is hot.
How about that challenge, guys?
Challenge.
Challenge.
We already did this.
Oh, right, we did.
Sorry.
Okay. So, this week.
So, let's do it again, though. Let's do it again.
Challenge.
Okay, challenge. So, our challenge this week is imagine that you are Tetsuo in this in a group of. You're not actually Tetsuo, but you're in a group. You kind of have a minority complex, an inferiority complex, yeah. Stephen.
Whoa, hey, you pointed right to me when you said minority complex there.
And
hey.
Suddenly, one day, you are endowed with superpowers. It's not telekinesis, but I'm going to let you pick.
I know what it is, and I want to go first.
Okay.
But I'm going to go first.
No.
So, get ready.
No.
Guys, and, okay, so
I think we can agree that I'm going first.
How are you going to one up your friend who you've always kind of looked up to, but you've always been second place beneath them? And bonus points if you can tell me how you're going to start World War III with it.
Okay.
Steven, you're up. Okay. Bat.
So, I can't pick a cool power like telekinesis or anything. I know what I'm going to pick. I've given this a lot of thought. Thank you for that high five, Michael. I have the power to just strike people down with diarrhea. I don't even have to be with
You've
them.
You've thought about this a lot?
It's the funniest thing. I don't want something where I could kill them because I don't want that on my conscience. But
Michael
I could just
left.
I could
Michael just left the room.
I could just ruin their life. And like I could, let's say Ryan's trying to go first before me on a podcast. I just point at him and just, oh no, oh.
Guys, I gotta leave the room too.
Nice.
No, you don't even have time to leave. It just, boom, happens. No, so imagine
subjective
imagine,
diarrhea.
Imagine Michael's on like the job interview of his life, and I wanted that job. Just boom.
Yeah, but it's just Crohn's.
And once well, once just, again, you know,
crime.
send
it's
Michael.
A perfect crime. He would never think. Oh, this is just.
Steven different. Gave me diarrhea.
Send your sympathies at fuarocketchannel.com. Michael, Michael's
pro.
Really going through a tough time here. You know,
guys, I'm in remission. Okay, remission impossible.
And how are you going to start World War III with that?
I think I could prevent it. Like, can you imagine if, like, the leader...
Actually, you literally just admitted you're losing the challenge.
Just
because
hear me
he
out.
Assigned
hear
you
me
start
out.
It.
Imagine if the leader of ISIS is doing some big speech, or he, like, hacks into
well, that
the
begs
worldwide
the question.
Communications, and he's on every... He's about to do, like, his big grand villain speech and tell everybody how he's going to take over the world, and he's also, like, all these potential recruits are watching, and this is the moment where they're going to be like, yes, I want to follow this man. Can you imagine... And then just, boom, diarrhea. Can you imagine if, like, Hitler was doing his thing? He was like, oh, we have to kill the... No one would listen to that
Finish
guy.
Your sentence.
Nobody.
We have to kill the who?
If I could, like, strike armies down with it, like the Nazis are coming, then just...
That begs the question, what are the rules? Do you have to know this person?
I can just
hone in on them.
I can just hone in on them.
Okay.
Is it a line of sight thing? You have to be looking at them?
Looking at them, or like a broadcast, or if I know, I could be looking at maybe their Twitter feed, or if they're on Instagram.
Now, can this, like, accidentally go off? Like, say you're, like, watching porn, and all of a sudden, it's like a live feed, and she just starts...
It's a live feed
just start,
you know,
crapping
like
yourself.
One of those,
yes.
One of those chat rooms.
So honed in, you're like, oh yeah,
I mean,
oh no.
It's like
if that's
it's
what
like
you're
Cerebro.
Into,
I can't focus too hard on a person, or else.
I hate to see like if it's like Akito where you start to lose control of your powers. Everybody's just having massive
oh,
damage.
Imagine that scene. The army's like, stop up.
All right, all right, Steven, I'll give you 4 points for that one, yes. And actually a bonus point because you went first.
Yes. So that's 5.
I like that.
All right. Who wants to go next?
All right. I guess I'll go. You didn't say anything. You didn't say anything. Thank you for giving me my light.
Spotlight. I'm
just Michael. Michael gave me my spotlight. You know. So I'm gonna. So here's how it happened. I was rolling around with my biker gang, the Popes. we all call ourselves Cardinals. You know, we're all
I like it.
That actually is awesome.
Until the one day when you know, my buddy Kaneda was the leader of the popes. Or he was Francis, I'm sorry, not to
right. Sailor Francis.
Sailor Francis was the leader of the popes, and you know, everyone looked up to him. He was the coolest of us all, and he had the best bike that no one else could handle and stuff. But then I was the one chosen to be the vessel of the Lord. And he gave and he gave me the power to minister to the masses using sick motorcycle tricks that were impossible to perform otherwise. And I started doing all these sick quadruple backflips and 360 spins and all kinds of crazy heelies and stuff. Wheelies.
I would love to see some sick heelie tricks.
Heelies
though.
With wheelies.
I would ride. You, I would ride
is that
on
like
my
those,
bike.
The roller skating shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
I would, just I would, doing heelies.
I would ride my motorcycle, but then I would ride on my heelies on my.
Yeah,
motorcycle.
You would get off the motorcycle like he did in the movie.
I would roll
and just
on
keep
the side.
Going.
I would roll on the side of my motorcycle with my heelies.
Hey
on.
Man, hop on my motorcycle. I have a sidecar. No need. You just hop on the other side, heelie away with them.
Please, someone put this in a movie.
And I think. You know, it would be very easy for me to start World War III because, you know, look what happened after Jesus himself came. You have, you know, all the Crusades, for example. You know, that's yeah. kind of a pre-World
Dark
War,
ages.
World War. Yeah, all kinds of crazy stuff happens when people
do you realize
get fanatics.
How long it's been since we had a war based on religion?
Like no time at all, right?
Yeah. So you have a good point.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. Bonus points. All right. I'm also going to give you 4 points for that
Thank
one.
Thank you.
I mean, essentially just like you become Jesus, right?
No.
Like
no.
Motorcycle Jesus?
Yeah. You know, I want to make the distinction that I'm not actually Jesus,
okay.
but I am the Jesus of motorcycle gangs.
Okay. So. Gotcha. All righty. I can see a lot of people... joining the faith.
I mean, you saw how everyone was going crazy over Akira in the
yeah,
movie.
That's true.
And that guy, they were going crazy over Tetsuo, who they thought was Akira, you know?
So. Actually, you know what? Yeah, I would totally join the popes. It's like, are you kidding me? Yes, I'll join the popes. I want to be a cardinal.
Butt power.
He did have butt power. Yeah. Star butt power.
Touch yeah. butt pro.
We're getting, I would getting
be,
a lot of butts.
I would be unaffected one. By Steven's power.
You know what, though? We would have an epic face-off.
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
True.
For sure.
For supremacy, for butt supremacy.
You're trying to get
I
a clear...
think I have that one.
You're trying to get a clear line of sight on me, but my motorcycle tricks are too sick.
I keep getting distracted. I'm like, oh my
His
gosh.
Heely moves.
I keep missing you, like the guys around you.
Just picture Ryan Healy next to a motorcycle that he's driving with his hands in a half pipe. And Steven just trying to cause like a... splatter of poo.
This is getting out of hand. Somebody, and I love it.
If you're an artist, please make this comic book for us.
Please don't.
Well, let's
please
see what don't. Our
at
let's,
the very least just like a still.
Let's see know. What our third character will do.
Alrighty.
Alright, well, the one thing I'm wondering as I'm watching all these kids in this motorcycle gang is where are their parents, right?
Right.
Right?
They're orphans, but go on.
They're orphans. Like little orphan Annie.
Yes!
And you know what? If I want to be able to do something better, I want to do it only while I'm singing the song, anything you can do, I can do better.
Oh, that
from
Annie.
So okay. My power will be that whenever I break into that song, whatever anyone else is doing, I gain their ability plus one. And so I can give people like super diarrhea, or I can just like Healy, but without the actual wheels on the shoe, just like on my heels.
healing
without
better
the
than
motorcycle.
Heal Jesus? I don't think so.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. But only while I'm singing Orphan Annie's, anything you can do, I can do better.
Okay, now, so that's what your limitation is.
Can you sing it on a loop?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm just always singing it.
But that's his weakness. He's got a weakness.
How would
just
we make him
his,
stop?
You stuff his mouth with a sock and it's done, right?
No, Ryan. Because if I can hum it too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or even if it's stuck in my head, you know, when you have a tune stuck in your head and you just can't get it out.
Once you hone your powers, then you don't have to sing it out loud anymore.
Right.
I can just sing it.
It's like how in Harry Potter they don't need to say the incantation all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you think really hard. Right.
But but I'm also honoring our orphan heritage.
Oh, okay.
Which is very important because they never once brought that up in the movie, and that's why it didn't get an A for me.
And how are you going to start World War III with that?
Anything ISIS can do, I can do better. So I'm just going to behead way more people than them, and they're going to be jealous, and they're going to start an all-out war. Or Kim Jong-un. I'll just like dictate a whole country of people better than he does. Mm. And he'll get jealous, and he'll send bombs all over the place. Or Obama, I'll let Key and Peele do a sketch with me better than they.
I just imagine what sort of hell it must be to, like, because that's like an extended thing. Like, even if you have to sing the song, you're going to be singing that song for like months at a time, just like enacting all of these political things. It must be horrifying.
But I have a really good voice because I'm also thinking about like Celine Dion while I'm singing it, and then I can sing better than
it's like
Celine Dion.
It's like it's like that story in the Bible where Moses has to hold his arms up, and as long as he's holding his arms up, then his army will win.
Was that in
you
the Bible?
No, that would put the Bible, Pope Francis.
That's an actual thing that
and
happens
then, like, his,
in the Bible.
And then,
yeah,
some other people have to come and hold his arms up for him when
that
he gets tired.
Yeah.
Look, no good superpower.
At that point, like, the blood just drains out, right? It's kind of gross.
There's always a catch. And you know what? I've come to terms with mine, and I can sing for quite a while. You should hear me in the shower.
Ryan, we have to team up against Michael.
Alrighty.
It's the only way.
I can team up better than you guys.
Sorry.
We're on his side now somehow.
Wait, what? Michael, I'll give you 5 points because that was the best superpower in my opinion.
Oh. You and I have different opinions.
Because it has a definite weakness. I just
but he totally was then like, oh, but I can just think it in my head too.
Well, because I can think better than you guys. As long as I'm singing.
Well, you
it.
Just gotta distract like him on with, the, like, boobies or something.
I feel like I'm on the playground, though. This is totally like the, well, I'm stronger than you times infinity.
Okay,
well,
okay.
Yeah, infinity
that's
plus
exactly
one.
My bonus, power. Bonus round. Who had the best World War III starting capabilities? What was yours again?
I prevented a war.
Goading them.
All right, then not you.
Goading them via jealousy.
I think Ryan has
religious
the best
war.
I think he has the best religious war. I'll give him a +1.
I think we all got 5 out of that challenge. Then.
Well, then what was the point, as Michael likes to say?
Well, Ryan won regardless.
Hey, all right.
Doesn't matter.
What was the final score?
8-7-5. Wait, no, 8-6-5.
Cool.
25 or 6-4.
That's a good song. So, Steven, even though you didn't technically win, what is your pick?
Diarrhea. No, that's
oh,
not my
God,
pick.
Oh, jeez. Ah.
Hey, congratulations, Steven. Yeah.
Man, I was so confident.
Man, I hate that movie.
I think my power would be the funnest to have. Well, no, motorcycle tricks are fun, but that would be just hilarious to me. Next week, we are watching Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie. It's coming out on the exact day of its 20th anniversary.
Nice.
So I want you to tell me for next week, which was your favorite Megazord of the Mighty Morphin era? Your choices are Dinozord.
I didn't know there was more than one. Yeah.
You have the Dino Megazord, the Thunder Megazord, the Ninja Megazord, which is in the movie, and the Shogun Megazord.
Whoa. Shogun was my least favorite.
If I had, like, I don't really, I'm not big into Power Rangers, but Dino sounds good to me, so I'm going to go with Dino.
I mean, do we want to just say our answers now or save it to next week?
Oh, we should save it.
Let's save it for next week. But let me know your favorite Megazord. People usually ask what's your favorite season or ranger, but I want to know your favorite Megazord.
I also want to just read off some lyrics from Annie's Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better.
No, stop him before he gets started. No!
So guy number one says, I can shoot a partridge with a single cartridge. Annie responds with, I can get a sparrow with a bow and arrow. Like, that is one-upping. That is one-upping to the max.
Well, I can shoot a partridge with one cartridge. That's like 6 shots, right?
No, one. If a shotgun and shell is one cartridge.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And then later, anything you can say, I can say softer. I can say anything softer than you. And then they just go into.
You start making mouth noises.
But yeah.
I can drink my liquor faster and flicker. I can drink it quicker and get even sicker.
So once again, write in your condolences, fuarock@gmail.com. Tweet us at fuarockpodcast. You can tell us your answer to the Megazord question on either of those outlets on our Facebook, facebook.com/from under a rock, facebook.com/from under a rock. I'd really appreciate it. If you're listening on iTunes, go on there and rate and review us. Give us some stars. And I'm really trying to keep talking here, so keep filibustering so that Michael can't get back into any Oakley songs. What else
Annie
can we
Oakley?
Talk? That's her name. Oh, this is different Annie? No, this is Annie.
Little Orphan Annie.
No, this Annie Oakley is Anything You Can Do.
Well,
So the whole premise of Michael's thing.
No, it's not.
Fun. Yeah, definitely.
Hold on, but just one guy says, one, I can jump a hurdle, and the response is, I can wear a girdle. That's not really one-upping.
They're talking about shooting partridges and sparrows. That's Annie Oakley, the
let's
the huntress.
Let's wrap this up.
Oh, you're not wrong.
I know. I've seen Annie Get Your Gun.
Nice.
So different Annie altogether.
Yeah.
You get minus 3 points because I...
Ooh.
Undercut your entire thing.
Oh, man. Why did I keep going?
Please check out the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie and write us in your thoughts, and we'll talk about them next week on the podcast. Anything else going on, Steven?
Gave Hyperdrive Pictures a new website. There's a nice page there for From Under Rock. Check it out. It looks a lot better than the old one. And since we're already talking about Power Rangers, we made a Shia LaBeouf Motivates the Power Rangers. If you don't think that meme is old yet, go check it out. It's got quite a lot of views for us. So that was a fun one to make.
It's old, though.
Do it.
Don't do it tomorrow. Yesterday you said tomorrow.
Just do it.
Yeah, I think that's going to... Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think he did everybody a favor by doing that in front of a green screen.
Oh, yeah.
It's like he knew, you know? Absolutely.
The point of it was to be reused.
Yeah.
It's a Creative Commons thing.
I actually have something I want to plug.
That's right, yeah.
I have a new podcast coming out. It'll be a review of Lifetime movies. By the time this is out, you will be able to go to vocnation.com and check out my review of A Deadly Adoption with Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig.
Already sounds amazing.
Yeah, and it's called Pass the Tissues, a monthly Lifetime movie event.
That is a great title.
Yeah, so enjoy that. Check it out.
All right, and I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. Let's go around the table for one last roll call.
I'm Steven Stupin, Suburban the Burb, Suburban's Dorita the Jerk.
Hold on. I'm Steven... I can't do it better than you.
Wow.
High five.
It's hard to do that with the camera. Alrighty. So what is your actual name?
I'm Steven Steuben.
Nope.
Wow, you're really bad.
Hold on. Steven Steuben, the Burb, Suburban Zarita, the Jerk.
There you go. Third time's a charm. He's...
Bourbon. And Mike Bourbon.
And you're?
Michael Ornelas.
I'm James McAnally, a.k.a. McDoodles.
And I'm Ryan Evans.
I'm Ryan Evans. There we go.
Thank you once again for joining us for another episode of
From Under A Rock.